let's put a finger there, or either let's turn there and let's also look in Matthew 27. Matthew 27. I appreciate the Lord tonight. Isaiah 53 and Matthew 27. Let's pray. Father, we bow before you tonight, God. We thank you for, Lord, allowing us to be in this place tonight, God. And I thank you, Lord God, for saving grace. I thank you for mercy tonight. I thank you for this, your bride tonight. Lord, I know what you've placed on my heart tonight, God. And I pray, Lord, that you'd keep me from jumbling up. Lord God, touch my lips, Lord, that they'd say exactly what you'd be pleased with, and help me to withhold from anything that would hinder you, Lord. Bless your people tonight. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. All righty. I want to look at the cross tonight. And, you know, I get to thinking about the cross and what it means and how it's, as I heard Brother Dwayne talking tonight about being a Christian is just thrown around. You know, the cross is something else. It's just looked over, sort of nonchalant, and it's just a symbol nowadays. But God help us as Christians, as people who are the born-again bride of Christ, to never take the cross lightly. You know, without this old rugged cross, we wouldn't be here tonight. Wouldn't be no such thing as this church. Without the cross, there's no use in being here. You know, and I figure it'd be appropriate tonight to preach on a storm. It'd be appropriate probably. There's probably several with trouble in their life right now. You know, it'd probably be something to preach on something that's uplifting. And I'm sure some people's down and needs encouraging, you know, but if Paul has made the statement, he said he chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that would believe. And I notice that over in 1 Corinthians, I'll read this to you right quick. I'll just refresh your memory. And I know you've heard it. He said in verse number 18, chapter 1, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. And then I read another one over in Colossians. He says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, and who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him are all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions. Verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of His cross. I'm glad there's peace to be had tonight. You know, you can buy pleasure. You can buy you a place. You can go somewhere and you can have pleasure and you can enjoy some things down here. I'd go this evening as far to say as you can buy happiness. But you know, the peace of God that passes all understanding, there's not a price tag on it. And there's never been a price tag. You can go out and you can occupy, and I'm afraid that's where America's at today. I'm afraid that's where people are at, is they're occupying their minds and they're occupying their lives. So that they do not have to face the reality of this world. But one of these days, the chickens is coming home to roost. And one of these days, the reality is going to set in. And I'm telling you tonight that what everybody needs is the old rugged cross and to see Jesus hanging and bleeding and dying for the sins of their life. Notice with me also in Colossians, he said in chapter 2 also, he said in verse number 13, "In you being dead in your sins." Now, I want you to understand where you once was. It do us a world of good tonight if we just realize tonight where we once was. Do you remember tonight before the Lord and Savior found you? It do us good tonight. As we're going to get in Matthew 27 here in a little bit, but the Bible says once they got him hung on that cross, that they sit by there and they watched him there. And it do us good tonight. The Holy Ghost penned that verse in there for a reason. It do us good tonight as those that proclaim to be children of the King, those that proclaim to be followers of Christ. If we would look to that cross tonight, I believe the cross is very important. He said, "You being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having," listen now, "forgiven you all trespasses." Ain't that a blessing tonight? I want to ask you, where would you be tonight? Listen to me, where would you be tonight if the sins of your past, if the sins of your present, if you had to stand before a thrice holy God and to give an account for what you've done in your life? I want to ask you, what would you do? But blessed be the name of God. I'm glad because of the old rugged cross, I ain't got to stand in front of Him and give an account because Jesus has already stood and fled my case, and I'm redeemed tonight by the blood of the precious Lamb. And all my iniquities, all my transgressions are forgiven. They're under the blood tonight. Glory to His name. Ain't you glad tonight for the cross? I said, thank God for the cross. Thank God for the cross. Hallelujah. Watch this. You know what the law is. This is the Wednesday. The old law is in the Old Testament, ain't it? God gave Moses the law. In the book of Exodus, we see that. And you know what that law's job was? You know what his job was? It was to show me my wrong. It was, Brother Tim, it was to show me how wicked I was. It was a mirror. And I could look in that mirror, Brother David, and I could see how sorry and low down, dirty. Oh, listen to me, I'm telling you. Oh, listen to me. As I look in that mirror of the law there, I see somebody that deserves to go to hell. I see somebody that's lower than the low. I see somebody that's unworthy tonight. But I'm glad tonight, glory be to His name, that there's a Son of God that stood one day and stood in my place. And now every time the Father looks down, He know He don't see me, but He sees His Son. I'm glad tonight that He blotted out the handwriting of ordinances. That was what? That was against me. It was sending me to hell. I was as good as gold. I was as good as burning in the flames of hell. But I'm glad one glorious day He reached further down than I could reach up, and He saved my unworthy soul. Ain't you glad? Ain't you glad? Ain't you glad? Oh, listen to me tonight. Why did He get you? Why did He get me? Why did He do it? I don't know why He chose me. I don't know why He didn't get one of my buddies that's dead right now. I don't know why He picked me. I don't know why He got me. But He came to me. He came to me. And He loved me. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of miry clay. And He set my feet upon a rock. Ain't you glad that He came to where you was? Hallelujah to God. Glory to His name. Oh, glory. Ain't you glad?
glad. Hallelujah. Boy, I'm glad he saved me. Oh, ain't you glad he saved me? Boy, I bless his name. Oh, listen, blotting out. Blotting out. Hallelujah to God. Blotting out, he said. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. And listen, and he took it out of the way. Hallelujah. Watch what he done with it. He nailed it. He nailed it to his cross. He nailed it to his cross. Bless his name. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Now you know in Isaiah 53. Let's look there tonight. Isaiah 53. I'm glad I'm saved tonight. I'm glad. Listen, the Holy Ghost has been talking to me a few days on this cross. And I'm glad I'm a part of it. I'm glad I'm a part of it tonight. I don't deserve to be, but I'm glad I'm a part of it. You know what the truth is tonight? The fact is, we all stand equal at the foot of the cross. I'll say this, I'll be the first one to confess. I've messed up more than anybody in the house tonight. I feel like Paul, the chief of all sinners. But the truth is that every man, woman, boy, and girl that's in this house tonight, or has ever walked in this house, or is in this world tonight, if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus, if you didn't have the blood applied, you'd go to hell tonight. I don't care who you are. I'm glad for the blood of an all-rugged cross. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. Verse number 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs. Watch this. He's carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God. Watch this. Smitten of who? Of God. And afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. For yours. And I'm going to say this. You better want to turn your halo off tonight, because I'm going to throw a towel over it. You ain't as good as you think you are. Say amen right there. Amen. We're all Gentiles. And listen, we all are in need of a Savior tonight. Listen to me, I'm glad tonight he came to where I was and washed me, and now I stand before him whole. But I needed a Savior, and so did you. And I say this tonight. You take the best person, and I've known some good ones. There's been some good people to pass through these doors. But you know what? I've seen some rough ones too. And you know what? That rough one didn't need Christ anymore than the one that knew all his books of the Bible. He didn't need Christ any more than the one that had been to church every service. They both needed the Lord, and they both had to be saved by the same blood. Listen, he said this, verse number 5, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Take this in with me. And with his stripes we are healed. The Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray. And we have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord, watch this, hath laid on him. This is Jehovah has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shears is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Verse number 10, yet it pleased the Lord, Jehovah. It pleased the Father. Watch, it pleased the Father to bruise him. Watch this, who the Lord hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering, when thou, who the Lord shall make his soul an offering for sin. You know what's happening right here? This is the true Abraham and Isaac unfolding here. Except God, Abraham in this picture in Isaiah 53 is God the Father, and Isaac is Jesus. But Abraham back in Genesis, the angel of the Lord came and said to Abraham, Abraham, hold your knife, don't kill him. But you know what? There's nobody here to tell the Lord to hold his knife. But the Lord is going to bruise him, and the Lord is going to sacrifice his own Son. He is going to slay him for your sins and for my sins. Do you know that? He said this. He hath put him to grief. Who shall make his soul an offering for sin? He shall see his seed. He's looking down at that seed there. You know what that is? That's me and you. Remember that one grain of corn that falls in the ground? Boy, if it dies and it comes back up, boy, how many sheaves does it bear? He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul. Isn't that something? He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Satisfied. You know what? All these things, all these condemnations that I've just read, you know who they really belong to? They belong to me and they belong to you. God Almighty should have took out all of His envy. He should have took out all of His anger. He should have took out all of His temper, all out on you because He hates sin. But He took it out on His Son. Because He loved us. He shall see the travail of His soul. He shall be satisfied. By His knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. For He shall bear their iniquities. He shall bear their iniquities. Then the last four or five words. He made intercession for the transgressors. Boy, those are some harsh words, aren't they? That's some tough words. To say that, you know what would do us good tonight? I think we've gotten to a place to where we don't realize that we're the transgressors. We're the ones that are full of sin. We're the ones that are wicked. We're the ones in this flesh. You know how I know that? We're still in this flesh. Because Paul said one of these days he's going to change this vile body. And fashion it like in His glorious body. Honey, this flesh is still vile. This flesh is still wicked. And every day, until the day you die, you're going to battle this thing called sin. You're going to fight it. Or you're going to give up one. But I notice it now. Watch your Bible, Matthew 27. Just look tonight. It'd do you good to look at what your Lord done for you. If you can't give Him about 15 more minutes, 20 more minutes to see what He's done for you, you may want to check up. I'm just being as honest as I can. If a man would go to Calvary and bleed and die for you and do such a great deed for you and for me, and I can't give Him the time of day, I wonder if it means anything to me. I want to say this tonight. The cross of Calvary is still the most important thing on this earth. The cross of Calvary is our only, you hear me? It's the only hope. Without that, there is no hope. And I want to thank Him for it tonight. And I want to sit down and I want to gaze at it a little bit.
The Bible says in verse number 27 of chapter number 27, verse 26, the Bible says, "Then released he Barabbas." That's me and you. Me and you got released, but they got Jesus in bonds. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers, the governor, took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. Watch this, they stripped him. Can you imagine the humiliation? Can you imagine the shame of what he must have felt like? Can you imagine how embarrassed it must have felt to him to be scourged to where his bones were showing and then be stripped totally naked in front of all these? In the common hall, by the way. They stripped him and they put on him a scarlet robe. When they had planted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head. A reed in his right hand. They bowed the knee before him and mocked him. When you think about this now, this is the Wednesday night crowd. We know who this is they're mocking. You know who this is they're talking like this about. This is Jesus. They mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And then watch this, they spit on him. They touched something. I guess that's probably one of the lowest things a man could do, is spit on somebody. I don't know of anything else that would be lower. I guess you could take a man's coat or take a man's hat and throw it on the floor and stomp it, but it still is in grim comparison. It's no comparison to somebody spitting on another person. It says, took a reed and smote him on the head. And after that, they'd mocked him. Took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come to the place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of the skull, they give him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them. And upon my vesture they did cast lots, verse 36. And sitting down, they watched him there. What an amazing verse. That they'd sit down and look. And this is something that people would literally turn their heads when they'd have to pass by. Even from a distance, they say, and this is a place where they would hang people on crosses, and people would go miles around a different direction to keep from having to go by this scene even. Let alone sit down and study it. But ain't it amazing that there's some kind of interest in this cross? Set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then were there two other thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand, the other on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." My goodness, what if he'd have done that? What if he'd have said like I have a lot of times, "I've had a bait of this." Anybody ever said this? "I've had all I can take. I'm done with this. I'm up to here with this. I can't take no more." What if he'd have said that? Ain't you glad tonight he didn't? He says, verse 40, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it, 3 days, save thyself, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise, also the chief
priest mocking him with the scribes, the elders said, he saved others himself, he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. I wonder if they really would have. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now. If he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. Heaven would have definitely had him. The thieves also which were crucified with him, the thieves, both of them, by the way, even the one that got saved on the cross, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour, here's where the business takes place. Mankind and Satan has had his part as the first 3 hours has passed there, but now God's turning the lights out. And Isaiah 53 begins in verse number 45. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land under the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Here we see the Son here on this earth as God has turned all the lights out. And God the Father, I believe with all of my heart, He is beginning the sacrificial process. And He is sacrificing His own Son here on this altar of an old rugged cross for your sins and for mine. And there the Son has no fellowship with the Father because He's the sacrifice. Isn't that something? The separation that's never been known in all of eternity took place in these 3 hours. Never had they been separated. Never. Some of them stood there when they heard that, said, this man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with vinegar, and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again, don't you love your Bible, with a loud voice. You see, as I believe it was Arthur Pink that wrote he said that Jesus had a natural death, but he also had a supernatural death. He died because his heart quit beating, but his heart quit beating because he told it to. The Bible says in the book of John that he bowed his head and then gave up the ghost. I like the movie good, but I got news for you. Jesus didn't die like this and then slump over, but Jesus bowed his head and said, it's okay to go now, Spirit. And he died right there under his own command. He had the power to lay his life down, and he has the power to take it up again. And one of these glorious days, he's going to call me out of the grave. Hallelujah to the Lamb. He's a mighty God. You see, I believe with all of my heart, they was had to be very, very little blood in that body. He was literally ravished from the top of his head all the way down to his feet. His arms were pierced, his hands were pierced, he was pierced in his feet, his ankle, he was cut, lacerated all over, and he was literally dehydrated and bled out. You and I would have died a long time before. But he had a mission. He had a mission. He was on a mission for you and me. I see this old rugged cross. I see this individual on this cross. I want you to understand that he is the Son of God. This ain't just anybody. But this, you know, this is the Son of God. This is heaven's beloved. All of the angels at this point in time are standing crowded around this hill right here. And they're sword drawn. And at the inkling of a thought of the Lord Jesus Christ, they would have come and they would have obliterated the whole entire universe. And there would have been nothing here if the Son so had wished it. He's the Son of God. He was sinless. He's sinless. This man's sinless. He'd never done one thing wrong. No guile in his mouth. No evil thoughts.
never done one foolish or wrong deed. He's sinless. He's perfect. Why Him? He's the Son. He's sinless. And He's sovereign. He's got all power. This individual, but let's look at the intention of the cross. What's the intention of this? Why has this got to happen? There's one reason. I'm going to show it to you. Verse number 51. The intention was to open up grace. The Bible says this. Immediately after He died, verse number 50, He died there, yielded up the ghost. Immediately after that, verse 51, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. You know what that means? That means that the law that's inside that ark, and I understand the ark wasn't in there, all that, but it's symbolizing that God has opened up a way and broken down the middle wall of partition. And He's made and gave us access into the holiest of all by the blood of Jesus Christ. That is the intention of the cross. It fulfilled and it did everything that it intended to do. And now, by the blood of Jesus, and that alone, you're saved by grace, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Amen? Not of works, lest any man should boast. And when the veil of the temple was rent in twain, He sent them out there, and He said, preach the gospel to them, and the gospel is Jesus Christ, crucified, buried, and resurrected. And when you preach that to them, if they'll believe on My name, they can be saved, and they can have access unto the Father. They can have access unto My grace by the gospel. Ain't you glad tonight? Ain't you glad tonight that He stayed on the cross and ripped that veil in two and give you access? Hear me now well. In the Old Testament, ain't but one that got to go in anyway. We know that. He got to go in once a year. And you know what? All the Jews could come in that inner court, but the Gentiles had to stay out. You and I wouldn't even get a good Facebook post in there. Say amen. We was the Gentile dogs. We was the ones that the Jews wouldn't even shake your hand. But I sure am glad He opened up grace. You know what happened next? Because grace is opened up, there's some graves that opened up. And because grace is opened up in your life, one day, if you find yourself in a grave, these that's back here, these that's in the rest of yards, wherever it might be, wherever the graveyards is that your loved ones are, my loved ones are, one of these days, if they're saved and they had faith in the dear Lamb of God and they accepted Him as their Savior, one of these days their grave is going to open up. I'll assure you, I'll promise you by the authority of the Word of God, they're going to get up one day and they're going to glory. Amen. Because of the cross that opened up grace, that opened up the graves, it opened up glory. Thank God for the cross. The influence of this cross. The influence of it. Look now. I'm afraid for some crazy reason I'm consumed with this Laodicean church age that we live in. This church of the Laodiceans. And I battle it every day. I'm trying my best to live a Christian life. I'm trying my best, but you know I fail. Just all there is to it. But I'm going to get back up and I'm going to go again tomorrow. And I'm going to try again. Do you know what? This Laodicean church age, we have lost our focus somehow, in some way.
I don't know how, don't ask me how it happened. I'm not going to get into that. But the fact of the matter is, it's when we are not concerned about the cross of Calvary, the mere symbol of our faith, isn't something wrong? I'll ask you that. Isn't there a problem? Isn't there something wrong when the cross didn't affect me? When I sit down at the foot of the cross and I gaze up at my Savior bleeding and dying for the vile wickedness that I have done myself, and it didn't really bother me, hadn't I lost focus somehow? What is it that's got me distracted? The earthquake, and even later on, the centurion said that he feared greatly. And there's a focus of this cross. There's a feel of this cross. There's a fear of it. I want to tell him tonight, I sure am grateful for the cross. I'm thankful tonight. Once again, and I know the fact of the matter is there's some in here tonight that I believe this is landed in your heart. And I believe it's stirred up, as Paul said. It'd be good to stir up the gift that's in you. You know what? I believe it's stirred up, but the fact of the matter is there's some's going to leave out of here and then forget it by 9:30. But I want to ask you tonight, in reverence of my Savior, I want to ask you tonight to do something. I wonder if you would do this for Him. And I wonder if you would just quietly, if the Lord has let you sit down and gaze up and see Him one more time, I wonder if you would just quietly pray and nestle in this altar and say, Lord, I want to thank You one more time for dying for me. I want to thank You for going on that cross and staying there for me. He did it for you. I wonder, is there anybody that would join me? Just thank Him that you saved. Just thank Him specifically, just like you was looking Him in His face. And say, Lord, thank You. When's the last time you told Him, thank You for saving me? Boy, it'd do good to write Him a letter tonight. You may have lost focus somehow or another. Boy, I have a lot of times. I wonder if you'd say, Lord, I don't know where I lost focus, but help me. Help me find my way. Father, tonight we just want to say thank You. My goodness. Of all people, Lord, I'm unworthy. I ought to be in hell already. But for some reason, Lord, You love me. For some reason You died for me and You stayed on that cross. And I thank You. I appreciate it. Lord, I'd have no hope if it wasn't for that. And I just want to come to You tonight personally. And I don't want to ask You for anything. I just want to say thank you. I want to tell you that I appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. And I'm very grateful. Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you for this church. And we thank you for this pastor and this pastor's wife. God, I pray for Brother Ken. You touch him. Fill him with the Holy Ghost. Use him. Give Miss Renee peace. Holy God in heaven. Oh God, we need you. We need you tonight. Would you grant us a little bit of grace, Lord, that we could exalt your Son. Father, we thank you tonight for these. In Jesus' holy name we pray.